Hello and welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Giselle Hannah. On today's program, two different panel addresses by two very impressive, incredible trade union leaders. One in an official leadership position, the other from the rank and file. The majority of the world's workers are women. It makes sense that we're the ones leading the struggle for workers' rights and for social movements for freedom and justice. In the second part of the show, we'll hear from Ma Jing Chen, early childhood teacher and project officer at the Australian Education Union. She was speaking about the historic gender undervaluation in feminised industries and the ongoing campaign and struggle for women's equal recognition in work. But first up, Faisan Dasso, Assistant General Secretary of the Confederation of Trade Unions in Myanmar, speaking about the ongoing military occupation there and the people's struggle for emancipation.
Comrades. Yep. Thank you so much for giving me your valuable time at this conference, very important conference. And then I also would like to mention our sincere gratitude to all of your solidarity support for the global fight, especially for my country, Myanmar. So I would like to show you this video. But I will pause in somewhere, and then I will explain to you what is happening in Myanmar, and then how global solidarity is important for our movement. And after that, when you have any question, I'm so happy. We face unions, progressive movement, we face military coup, on the 1st of February 2021. But this is not the first one. This is the time. As a country, Myanmar, for some of you who are not aware of Myanmar, we have 57 million population. We are the biggest geographically in Southeast Asia countries, ASEAN. Out of 57 million, we have 35 working age population. Majority are women. And we faced the military coup for the first time in 1962. General Nguyen, he wiped out all trade unions. And then even inside the country, we were not allowed to speak about the term union. What is union? And then he wiped out the union terminology from the textbooks, from education systems. That's what we face. And then in the second time, the country was declared least developed country. Even though we are very rich in natural resources, we have good, active young labor, but 500,000 people are still under poverty line. Until now. And in 1988, the country was declared least developed country because of this brutal military dictatorship. And then we organized people's movement, 88 uprising movement. And then we fought back. So that is why they had to organize election. Then National League for Democracy, Independent Political Party, win the election landslide. You know what they do? They did not transfer the power peacefully. Then they took military coup again in 1992. So our democracy was under attack. Then, because of international pressure, because of you, they had to change because we struggle a lot, we fight together. Because of international pressure, they had to change democratization for the country in 2010. So from 2010 to 2020, we had certain level of democratization, and then we could exercise freedom of association to certain level. despite of our other challenges. Then in 2020, National League for Democracy, and they won the election. Then what they do? What they did again? They took military coup again. So they are fucking us several times. So this brutal military dictatorship, that's what we are facing, comrades. Establishing fake unions. At the same time, they are killing us. They are killing us, including me. All union leaders and active members are under arrest. And then we are under serious attack. And they have issued arrest warrant against union leaders and active members for high treason. For high treason. We just exercise freedom of expression, freedom of association. And then they declare 16 labor organizations as illegal organizations. And our unions, 37 members got killed. And more than 400 union brothers and sisters are in prison. And from my union, 157, my colleagues, they are still in prison. That's what we are feeling. For the military coup, all unions, the people, we are fighting together, and that we reject the military coup and we join civil disobedience movement. So, and then some of young people, generations that we call, they join military defense forces, people's defense forces, and then they are fighting back. So the military dictatorship, they are losing on the ground, and then they are losing their soldiers. Then what they do? They enacted military conscription law. And then they have been forcibly recruiting young people, including minors, from 18 years old to 35 years old. Then they organized 16 military trainings. In one training, 5,000 young people, including women, forcibly. And so you can multiply 5,000, multiply 16 trainings. That's what young people, including women, are facing. Very recently, my old union was destroyed by the airstrikes. My president, he escaped very luckily 2 minutes before the airstrikes. And then every day on the ground, the people are dying from the airstrikes and bomb attacks. Children, women. In the bomb shelter. You know, one of the curriculum right now for the education for children is how to escape from bomb attacks. Have you experience of that? Yeah. So that is why as a global movement, trade union, we use International Labor Organization, ILO mechanism to take action against this brutal military agenda. Then, comrades, brothers and sisters, because of you, this year in 2025, on the 5th of June. ILO, in its history, they adopted ILO Article 33 measures to take action against this brutal military junta. We win the fight. This resolution is very important. You will see that they are killing the innocent people. So that's why all unions, as a global fight, we are telling ILO member states, 187 plus ILO constituents, you must stop any kind of relation with the military junta. You must not recognize this brutal military junta. So the resolution said that all member states must review any kind of relation with the military junta and they must take appropriate measures. And that they must cut any financial flows to the military. That's what we did together. We fought together. And then another important one is, in the resolution, ILO member states, all constituents, they must protect unionists and human rights defenders in the principle of non-enforcement. So that's what we achieved. Of course, this is the resolution. But comrades, brothers and sisters, we have to go to another level fight, that is implementation and enforcement. So that's why I'm came here to call your solidarity again, to push your government to enforce this ILO resolution effectively. Australia government is playing the key role within the Asia and Pacific. They must take strong leadership position to implement this resolution. We need your push. We need your solidarity. May I, sisters, brothers, comrades? May I? Thank you so much. And then, the last thing, this brutal military junta, they want to be recognized as the government of Myanmar. Do they deserve?
No.
Do you want to recognize them?
No.
So that's why we have to reject and isolate this brutal military junta. They will conduct very soon in December 2025 sham election and by killing people. If you give legitimacy and then if you recognize this election, they are given legitimacy them to kill more people. Do you want that?
No.
So that's why we must tell Australian government, you must reject this sham election. You should not give your legitimacy and recognition to this brutal military junta. So in this regard, we want to hear Australia government position strongly in publicly rejecting this sham election. That is our call, comrades, brothers and sisters. So democracy, Myanmar issue is the biggest fight for democracy around the world. That is the military dictatorship versus union movement. We have to win it. We have to win it. So let's fight together. And then thank you so much for all your strong solidarity support. We already feel it. Thank you so much.
That was Fai Sander So, Assistant General Secretary of the Confederation of Trade Unions in Myanmar, speaking about the ongoing military occupation there and the people's struggle for emancipation. And on community radio stations right across Australia, you're listening to Accent of Women. Next up, Maojing Chen, early childhood teacher and project officer at the Australian Education Union, speaking about the historic gender undervaluation in feminised industries and the ongoing campaign and struggle for women's equal recognition in work.
Good afternoon, comrades. I want to begin by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Mighty Kulin Nation and pay my respects to the elders past and present. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are the first unified fighters of the lands on which we are gathered today. My name is Mao Jing Chen. I am an early childhood teacher and director of a sessional kinder in Northern Metro Melbourne. More recently, I've joined the AEU, Australian Education Union, as a project officer. I also have a casual role at Migrant Worker Centre back there as a casual bicultural ambassador. My story of fighting for justice started when I witnessed my mom putting herself out to get me to attend the public school where I should be in the zone of, due to some possible nepotism, not knowing for sure, I was excluded from that school after the transferring exam. My mom took all my transcripts, records, and prizes with her to argue with the principal, advocating for me. Yeah, I saw my mom had to draw on all her strengths and fight against that unfair situation, the norm she had to push back against. I got to go to the school and might become one of the students who have made quite far in high school. Thank you. My fellow students and I saw our teachers going on strike due to the poor pay and conditions, even worse, the insults they received from their private employer, which is quite rare back home in China, for sure. And interestingly, that's what my fellow early childhood teachers and educators are going to do for ourselves. I'll talk a bit more about that very soon. I am sure that's part of the reasons why the rally does not seem to be too unfamiliar to me. And more broadly, how organic, natural and urged that standing up for changes is for me when I get involved in union more and more here in Victoria. I came to Melbourne to study my Master of Teaching as an international student 7 years ago. I joined AEU as a pre-service teacher. As I started to work, I got more heavily involved in the union, including doing the Anna Stewart Memorial Project, which enriched my perspective of unionism and feminism, and also gave me the opportunity to be here today. In my kindergarten role, I support young children's learning and development, their health and safety, and I work closely with families to create strong, trusting partnerships. I also collaborate with maternal and child health nurses, allied health professionals, local councils, and Department of Education to ensure children receive the best possible start in life. It is definitely one of the most important and rewarding jobs in the world, but it is also very tiring and undervalued. As a union project officer, my days filled with sharing information with members, whether it's about the campaign, ballots, or industrial actions. I visit workplaces to listen to educators, update them on the latest progress, and support them to feel confident about their rights and entitlements. A key part of my role there is finding ways to strengthen belonging and engagement, especially among migrant workers, by making union work more inclusive, accessible, and empowering. Thanks to my training and my casual role as a bicultural ambassador at the Migrant Worker Center, again, right back there, in the building, which I also heard about after the introduction to the center during the Anna Stewart Memorial Project, I gained a lot of general industrial knowledge and how to engage with diverse audiences. It is exciting to get to implement my learnings from both projects to my new AEU role. I would strongly recommend them to anyone here today to participate when the opportunity occurs. Let's move on to my experience as a woman and migrant in an undervalued sector. One story that I once told the counselors in the AEU Early Childhood Council meeting was that my partner and I both have master's degrees and work as professionals. our wage at the beginning of our careers was basically the same. 5 years later today, he makes way more as a chemical engineer than me as a kindergarten teacher. I guess that sting in my heart is the feeling of gender pay gap. Being a woman and a migrant woman in early childhood education and care sector is deeply personal to me. This sector has been historically undervalued because it's seen as women's work. Call back to Louise's speech, shaped by outdated gendered assumptions about caring. We are often described as nice ladies who love children, as if love alone is enough to empower through a job that is emotionally, physically, and intellectually demanding. Our work is professional work. It's humanity technical work. But the pay and conditions have never truly reflected that. There are too many invisible skills required, and it is all one profession that has the association of work historically being performed by women at home for free. I borrowed that sentence from Kerry. We've been facing chronic staff shortages for years as a result. And when migrant workers, especially migrant women, step in to fill those gaps, they often face double the obstacles. Not only are they navigating a demanding profession, but they are also adjusting to a new country, new system, and new culture. Many don't yet have the confidence, knowledge, or support to stand up for their rights at work. Some are afraid to ask questions or speak up, worrying about visa issues, job security, or simply being misunderstood. There's a huge need for more inclusive workplaces, clearer communication, and strong representation that speaks to the realities of these workers. One example of my fight and migrant teachers' fight, which brought me even closer to unionism and solidarity, is around the extra language requirements, the IELTS test score. Despite the fact that these teachers are already functioning and teaching in early childhood education services and also high schools, they still have to take this test that is almost irrelevant to our teaching. And we were required to get 7 in reading and writing and 8 in listening and speaking out of the band 9 to be able to get the permanent residency as teachers here in Australia, which is even higher than 6.9, the average score that native speakers hold for that same test. In 2022, I contacted AEU and worked together with the organizer to push the changes for the requirements. Me and my organizer meet quite frequently, and then I speak to the members, the fellow teachers. I believe the investigation, inquiry, phone calling, and emailing sending for nearly 2 years was the key for the assessment body to announce a case-by-case assessment for teachers who have already got their teacher's registration and are currently working in education sectors. That was the first time I felt what kind of changes can be made, can be done through unionism. Thank you. My union journey sometimes seemed a bit lonely. As maybe there are not as many people who look like me. In the journey,
But as I take a closer look, I realize that I am surrounded by people, by liked people who would stay in solidarity for fairness and justice despite our different past paths. And the more important thing is keeping bringing more comrades along. Comrades. This is supposed to be a joke here. Comrades, a word I've heard about growing up, in Chinese, of course, but happily to feel what it means as I'm here. What I want to see change in early childhood education is simple. A well-supported, well-paid early childhood sector where educators feel valued, heard, and safe. Thanks to all the hard work done by the comrades in our sector, many people who are under a ward, like the bare minimum conditions, have the chance to access something better. But the fight is not finished. We still need better pay and conditions, fairer ratios and workloads. The example is two staff members with 22 children and possibly 10 of them need additional needs. It's not good enough for inclusion and is not good enough for their best outcomes. And we also need secure jobs with clear career pathways and strong inclusive workforce cultures that unite our diverse sector. We need to make early childhood education sector so awesome to attract the most suitable and most passionate people to join and make and make it so exciting, well seen, and well valued for people to stay in the profession. This is not just for us as workers. It's for all children in Australia. It's for their life now and their future.
That was Mao Jing Chen. Before her, Faisander So. And that's all we've got time for on today's program. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Giselle Hannah and I look forward to your company again next week.